Welcome to Girl Flower Podcast with Vic and Jess. We will be having conversations and inspirational chinwags with florists and growers to keep you company in your workspaces, in the car, over a cuppa, or wherever you like to listen. We hope to help you along on your own floral journey.
Hello and welcome back to Girl Flower Podcast. This week we're in conversation with Sarah Sylvester, founder of the Little Shed Flower Company. And Sarah is our first international guest on the poddy. She has a beautiful shop in Ontario, Canada that contains obviously beautiful blooms and plants, but a whole host of artisan products, including a huge line of branded goods, lots of which she makes herself. So we find out loads about that process. She grows flowers on half an acre, creates and styles heaps of wedding and events, and holds workshops for both one-to-one bespoke days and groups as well. Literally, this gal never sleeps. We have been so looking forward to having this chat with Sarah. She is brilliantly talented and she has so much kind of powerful energy. And yeah, we had a glass of something alcoholic in hand. This was an evening chat and it's really fun. And Sarah is really open and giving with her information. So yeah, here we go. Buckle in.
So, Sarah, welcome to our lovely podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And you being the other side of the world, we know very little about the Canadian floral industry and everything. So we can ask you lots of questions about that. But let's ask you about how you came into floristry, because you had a career in healthcare before, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah. So I was a registered nurse. I went to Western, which is in London, Ontario. And I got my Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree. And I just started working full time right out of the gate. Actually, I ended up getting a temporary license before my test course came in so that I could work like 6 months earlier. So I worked as a full time RN for almost 5 years. And then here we are today. So, you know,
What drove that? What was the sudden decision to stop?
Oh, it was super sudden. So my first job, we have to go back a little bit. So one of my first jobs was at a flower shop, really fancy, super ahead of its time, great color palettes, downtown Stratford, literally like down the street and around the corner from where my shop is now. Mm-hmm. I was 15 years old. I'm working in this flower shop in the morning, in the afternoons, and the weekends while I was in high school. And I loved it. Started scrubbing buckets and floors. My boss, the owner, was just incredible. She was like everything I wanted to be. Hair, makeup, clothes, all the things. Such like a great floral artist and like an independent woman to the nines. And so she was just such a huge influence for me. But yeah, I worked there for years, started scrubbing floors and buckets like we all do. And then one day she taught me how to make a dozen red roses and a vase. And away we went.
So did you love it back then? Did you absolutely love it?
Yeah. So I loved it. I loved helping the customers. I loved learning all the different flower varieties. Like I wanted to make things weird and different. Like I'm in my early 30s. I was 15 years old when I worked there. And back then, Kathy, the owner and my boss was putting like I said, like unexpected color palettes together, dried things when it wasn't really a thing, pheasant feathers, like, you know, all the things back then. And I loved it. I loved how creative and different it was. And it was a really beautiful, renowned shop. So it was really busy and I thrive it in that environment. So yeah, so I worked there and then I went to university to become a nurse. And I was a nurse. I started in Emerge. Then I went to, which was also very busy. Then I went to cardiology and cardiovascular thoracics for a little while. Then I did a stint in like a nursing reserve unit where you just kind of go to like whatever floor they need you on. So that was fun and busy too.
Sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, why did you go to university to study nursing and not go into floristry?
Okay. So both sides of my family, there's some smarty pants peeps. So, you know, we've got doctors, we've got pharmacists, we've got nurses, we've got all the things. And I think my parents were just like, nursing would be great. Way you go. And okay. I remember I had a telephone call with my mom, and like, she would tell you this. I had a telephone call with my mom in my second year of a 4-year program, bawling, tears. I can't do this. This is so hard. I'm going to quit. And my mom said to me, I didn't raise a quitter. You will not quit. You will finish and you will do a damn good job. I thought, oh shit. She's going to cut me off if I don't. Anyways, that was the real, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so yeah, so I went to school and I was a good nurse and I liked it and it was great. Like the end of my career, I was in neurosurgery and neurology. And then I finished up, at like a long-term care facility, which was really heavy. And it was a lot of work, like for a lot of different reasons, but yeah, I was really, really tired. I fell asleep at the wheel on my way home. I was fine. My car was fine, but I literally just went like whoop, into the ditch. And I just woke up and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like I'm exhausted. I'm done. So yeah, then I literally quit the next day. Full-time job, benefits, pension, like good money, you know, but
none of that's important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. None of that's important. No. If you kill yourself, is it?
I know, that's right. So yeah. And then after that, I was engaged at the time. So I was offered a job by the florist that I had hired. Oh. And I'm like, no, definitely not. And then she bugged me one more time when I was actually there for a consult. So I started working for her. I was with her for about a year and a half. Our styles were just super different. Mm-hmm. So I left on good terms and opened my own business. Here we are.
Wow. Yeah. And how many years ago was that?
June 1st. Yeah. Yep.
My goodness.
And
was it always, was it always for you going to be a shop when you decided you were going to start a business? Is that where it started? Right. Okay.
Yeah, I know. So it's called Little Shed because it was in a little shed. It was built for the business, but it was a 12-foot by 12-foot shed with extra height in the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And it was just local flowers wrapped in butcher paper for deliveries and like markets in the off season on the weekend. I wasn't advertising for weddings or anything. I got one big wedding. My first wedding I did was almost $15,000. And I did it out of that little pissing shed. And I literally looked like I was drowning in flowers in there. There's a picture of me and it's like up to my bloody eyeballs. It was so great. Such a learning experience. I did it. Like my mom, that weekend was so bad. It was like a monsoon before the reception. My mom's out there like mopping the tent. I'm like, oh my God. It was just a thing. Anyways, yeah, that was my first big wedding. And it was never really the plan to have a retail shop. Mm. So I moved, the business started picking up after that big wedding. We're doing like daily deliveries, vase arrangements, bouquets, all things. More weddings started rolling in. And I was like, I need a bigger space. I can't be up in here anymore. This is too tiny. So there was an old church that was empty down the street and around the corner. So it had a loft office, studio and consult space. So in I went. I stayed
there
for a while. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. It was super, super beautiful. And it was a really, really nice place to expand the business and do a little bit more like groundwork for the wedding and event side of things. And then that building, like the old church, ended up going on the market to be sold. So I had to move, but then literally right across the street was an old general store. And I was like, okay, here we go. The rent's cheap and it looks beautiful. So let's get in there. And that's where the retail started, teeny tiny in the front. And we've just built up ever since then.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. It was obviously meant to be, wasn't it?
I freaking hope so. Otherwise, what am I doing?
And so you can see the church that you used to be in.
So, yeah. So in the little village that I live, it's actually a hamlet because there was like this many people, teeny tiny. So it was like my house, the shed, like on the back of my property, and then the church studio, and then like on the other side of the intersection was my old shop. My now I've since relocated the shop to a bigger city, which is where I'm sitting now. But yeah, that was a big move too.
That's a lot to like build up in 5 years, isn't it?
I know.
Moving
5 years, yeah.
Yeah. I don't, like I said, I thrive in a busy environment, and I don't do well sitting still. So,
well, you haven't sat still, have you? Because in your shop, you do your flowers, obviously. So normally, like without COVID, you'd be having customers coming in and buying bouquets and plants and doing deliveries. But you also, you've got lots of product in your shop as well, haven't you? And me and Vic were looking, and some of it is branded. So do you like design your own brand products as well?
Yeah, girl, you know it. So just out of necessity, like just started branding all the things that I wanted, but I couldn't find, or like wasn't quite right with another maker or wholesaler. So yeah, we have a huge line of, huge, whatever, that's relative. We have a big, we have a big amount of branded stuff. So yeah, it's great.
I love it. Talk us through what you sell in your like under your umbrella of the brand.
Right. Okay. So the Little Shed brand is, it's, I always make jokes, it's now like Medium Shed, not Little Shed anymore. It's like a Medium Shed now. So we do like 35 weddings a year. Mm-hmm. I grow half an acre of my own flowers. Like I'm doing over 40 varieties of my own flowers, and have been doing that for the last 3 years. We have the retail. Normally I would like teach workshops, one-to-ones like you do. And then all the daily deliveries and all that stuff on top. But in terms of what we have in the store, everything is floral or botanically related. Mm-hmm. Do you just want to like my branded stuff? Is that kind of what you're
more interested in? Yeah. Because do you make some things yourself as well?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you? Because I was speaking to Jess about this. I was like, I'm sure she like pours her own candles. I think she might make her own balms. And that is insane.
Yep. I know. It's a lot of work, but it's great. So yeah. So I mean, just right here in the shop. So I have a bath soak that I make, that, and like all this stuff can be found online. Like we have an online store too. So you can find it online. It's accessible through the website. But yeah. So like the bath soak is branded. There's a florist balm, which is super nice. It's like a rose and patchouli, like really nourishing balm for your hands when they get all fucked up, you know? And then I have a cocktail line, which is bitters and rimmers.
And you make all of that yourself?
Yeah. I know. I don't sleep. No, it's fine. And then we also have, I have some talented friends too. I can't keep all the credit to myself. Right. So, there's a chocolatier up north. Her name is Jenna, and she makes two exclusive branded chocolate bars for me, where the wrap is like photography of like prior work that I've done. What else do we have? Oh yeah. I have the soy, candles in pottery vessels that are so beautiful. My friend Sarah makes these vessels. They're just incredible.
I love those. I'm always crushing on those. And also there's a, what I really love about it, there's a, like a candle, a match strike on there as well. That is good. Yeah. That is so a touch.
Bottom. Like, I can't take credit for that. So my friend Sarah owns Freight House Pottery in Stratford here, and she came up with that ingenious idea. So the bottom of the vessel is the match strike, which is cool. And then I refill them too. So people bring them back when they're empty, and then I refill them, which is great. Yeah. And then we have like just the regular branded t-shirts, and then the big flower energy line.
That's which amazing. Is great.
You do like, what is, do you work alone a lot? Do you have a team that helps you, or how do you get everything done? How is that possible?
So when I first started, it was like pretty much just me. And then I had a close friend that was helping me like quite a lot. My mom would come out every once in a while too, which was kind of fun. I've gone through, like, for how old my business is, I think I've gone through quite a few like shop hands, I'd say, like maybe half a dozen. But yeah, like right now I'm just working by myself.
Is that because of COVID you're working by yourself?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. I mean, like the docket for weddings is so short now for this year, right? Like I've got, just like everybody else, I've got weddings postponing, dropping like flies, right? And it's not, it's no fault of my own or my clients. It's just kind of the reality that we're in right now. So
you said you are farming half an acre as well.
So my
flower farm is about half an acre, and oh my god, it has broken me setting it up. And it's a full-time job. So I'm doing it with looking after children as well, so I suppose I can't be there from 6 till 10 o'clock at night. But it still is like a full-time job. If I was having to make my products and run a florist and do weddings and do all the businessy stuff as well, I would be crying in a corner. So how are you not?
You know what? Nobody said I wasn't. Here's. No. No, it's fine. So I have a lot of perennials.
Yeah.
So I moved my farm like to my property last year. It wasn't like my preferred way to transport everything. It was not the best time of the year. And I am like, I'll be the first person to say I am by no means a flower farming expert at all. Okay. My flower farm, in quotes, if you want to call it that, it started in a field and it was like 30 or 40 varieties. But now it's at my home property and it's all in raised beds. So there's pathways in between. It's really, really organized for me. The weeding situation is a lot better that way, I find. And I'm also one of these weirdos that I don't start anything inside ahead of time. I direct seed everything.
That's got to save you a lot of time.
Yeah, much time. Yeah, and I'm like I even said yesterday, I planted all my seeds yesterday, actually. It was beautiful here. It was sunny, not too windy. Like it was great. I planted pretty much everything, yesterday. And I was walking away from my beds and I said, survival of the fittest, boys. Yeah. You can do it. So yeah, give my flowers a pep talk and, you know, hope for that 80% germination rate.
They will.
I love it.
That is probably the way I should do it. No, I was going to say that is the way I should do it. Put some raised beds in and just throw seed around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Would make things a bit easier, Jess, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yep. It would. Yeah. More space in the polytunnel as well.
That's it. Yep. So what, when's your growing season then? When does that fall?
So I don't know. I suppose it depends on what you're growing, but I usually plant my annuals anytime around the third or fourth week of May. So like right around this time. And then just depending on when the frost comes, you know, October,
okay.
Like where I am. We're a zone five, like we're technically a zone five, I think. Yeah. So, yeah.
I never understand the zone fives. I think because in the UK, we're pretty much all the same zone, maybe like a week ahead. But then if you're sowing in May till October, you're about the same as us then.
Yeah. So, and oh, I mean,
it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like I prune my roses. I actually have a pretty good selection of roses. I have a pretty good collection. But yeah, like I prune them in the spring and then I just kind of let them rock out. All of my flowers are organic. Like I don't spray anything. There's no pesticides. There's nothing, just because I don't know, it's kind of my preference. And there's that nice eco conscious vein running through the rest of the business too. So I just kind of wanted to keep it in that lane, but yeah, about May to October, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Love yeah. And how about, I mean, obviously you're super busy. You do lots of weddings, you know, do high end weddings. Yeah. What proportion of kind of stuff do you grow for that? And what do you import, or are there other local farms, or how's your kind of flower buying work over there?
Yeah. So for me, I grow mostly for the retail side of things. Mm-hmm. I do have, like I said, I have, I would say now probably at least 10 different varieties of peonies, and multiple plants of each. And then a pretty nice, collection of David Austin's that I, you know, kind of have that I baby, and I might use, some things that I grow just depending on the wedding palette or the event palette. I might use like a few of the more choice things in the bridal bouquets or the personals, you know, maybe one or two kind of more wild, gnarly looking varieties for like large scale installations. I love doing the large scale installations. And then, yeah, like as local as I can, there are quite a few like smaller wholesalers in my area. And then we have like the Dutch market too, right? Like we could do Dutch direct. I don't. I use kind of the wholesaler middleman situation just because I don't have time, and I find that way easier. That I can literally fire somebody off a list and, you know, they can say, yep, we got ABC, and you have to substitute for D&E. But yeah, I try my best to go as local as possible, and I forage a lot.
Gosh, so you do get flowers all the way from Holland then, just like tipped over.
We weren't sure about that.
And then I suppose you get a lot of stuff from Colombia and Ecuador as well. It's the same as here.
It's pretty much the same. Yeah. And then like I said, like wherever I can get local, I can. And that I like that wholesaler middleman because they have access to the local. They also have access to the Dutch. They also, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of like a nice hub for everything that I need. I can just go in one place. It does cost a little bit more money, but I can get my hard goods through them too. Yeah. in terms of like pots and like glassware and stuff for the shop. So
We have the same here. And I think sometimes if you order direct from a Dutch auction, you end up having to buy, you know, 100 stems of something. And if you've got a small order and you only need 10, if you go direct to your wholesaler, then you can normally just buy, you know, 10 of something. So yeah, it does make it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's easier. And I don't mind like, you know, having to pay, like I said, that little extra. A lot of times I will go, you know, when it was like safer to do so, that wholesale market for me is about an hour and a half away from my shop. Before I moved, it was about 2 hours away. So it was quite a trek, but I used to go almost every week and pick everything for the store myself and bring it home myself because like there is nothing worse. You know this, there's nothing worse than when you open the box and there's like damages and rot and like broken shit. And like, you know, everything's all messed up and it's just so frustrating because you can't send it back right in that instant, right? So, but that's part of it.
So I was going to ask, I'm just interested, when we see the wonderful Pinterest and you see American florists, that they always seem to be the ones that people are looking at. They have the selection of flowers. Doesn't ever seem like when there's weddings, it seems like there's money is not and no problem. You know, they all go big style, and a lot of our brides and grooms are choosing like American pictures, and we have to tell them, oh no, we can't get that. In Canada, are flowers like a really big important part of a wedding where people spend a lot of money on them, or is it a bit like here where some people spend money and others are like, oh, I've got £100 and I just want jam jars?
So for me, I would say, in my opinion, over the last 5 years, which is not a long time to be in the industry, I would say that it's kind of split. You have the people where it's important to them and they want to spend. And then you have the people that like, it's maybe not the most important thing, but they still want some. And then there's a subsection of that first group of money is not an object. I love flowers. They're the most important. Lay it on me. And then there's that other group of like champagne taste on a beer budget, you know, where they want all the things and you're like, girl, slow down. That's going to be 10 grand, you know? So yeah, I would say for me, it's split. I implemented a booking minimum a few years ago and then just increase it every year, just for like inflation and my own skill level and like increased cost, all these things.
That's
right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So my booking minimum for the 2021 season is $5,000.
So essentially you're looking at about 2,500 quid.
Yeah.
As a minimum. Yeah. But your weddings are, they're majority of more money than that, aren't they? Because you do some really beautiful weddings.
Well, thanks. Welcome. I like big, like sprawling installations. I think it says on my website, like when it comes to flowers, more is more. It is. Of course it is. Like, come on, I'm the flower lady. Like, I love the flowers. I want to see all the flowers. But yeah, like I would say my average wedding, like for last season, you know, the last proper season that we had, was probably between $8,000 and $12,000 Canadian dollars. Like I would say that's the average, but I only service like full service weddings and events. So that's, you know, all the florals set up, tear down. And then I also have like a pretty substantial rental and fine details, aspect that we have too. So I just like everything to be cohesive and beautiful and just right, you know?
Yeah. So they can rent all the urns and everything from you. So you've got it all and it, and there's no outsourcing then, is there?
Yep. I do have, another company that we, work like alongside with quite a bit. That's about 20 minutes away. And they're great for stuff that I don't have, which would be like cutlery, plateware, linen, stuff like that. But yeah, they're super great to work with. And yeah.
So you do
in conjunction with all the flowers.
So you as the florist do all of that styling then, all the tableware as well. So,
love that. That's why it always looks so beautiful, the whole complete look, because you've done it all. You've gone, right, yes, we need to be this, this and this. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And I like I'm a control freak. I'm super type A. So I like being able to bring everything together. I want to work really closely with the planner. You know, I want to make sure that everything is set up on time and perfect and the candles are lit and it's just right. Like I said, like I want that for my clients and it's a level of service. And I charge for it. So,
How would you describe your client? If you've got quite a diverse set of clients, or would you say when you know how they speak about ideal client, you know, you've got to speak to your ideal client the whole time. Have you got someone in your mind? Are your clients very similar?
I would say my best ideal clients are not necessarily the clients with no budget. I would say that they have a budget, but it's bordering on the higher end. They're probably in their late 20s to like mid 30s. They appreciate flowers and they let me have the control. They trust me and they, you know, provide the information that I'm asking for. Like I have an intake form on the website, ask them a little bit of information, kind of like a filter, super helpful. But yeah, like, yeah, I would say that they're not, not necessarily always the biggest spenders. But I mean, even that's relative, right? So, but yeah, they give me the control and they usually want at least one like big ass piece, like one big piece. Right. Yeah.
I think when they're looking at your website and Instagram, they'll see that you're not the old fashioned florist. We were saying, weren't we, like with the gingham bunting and the little baskets of croissants.
You are
definitely not that florist. And if somebody wanted something like that, they're not coming to you. They're coming to you because you're young and funky and you've got a good style and a good energy. And you can get that from your Instagram. And so they kind of, I would say, when they're coming to you, they're probably coming to you just to make sure you've got the date free and you can work with their budget. I don't think they're I don't think they're coming to you. They're not coming to you just for a price match, are they? You know how some people just do that, don't they? They go around and price match. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of where thanks for saying that. I think that's where like that filter, that intake form kind of comes in, right? Because I asked on the form, like, who is your photographer? Do you have a wedding planner? Who is it? Where are you getting married? What is your budget for flowers? What aesthetic are you after? Like I ask all of these questions so that I don't have to waste their time or mine if I know they're not going to be a good fit, right? Like my booking minimum is smack in the middle of my wedding page. Bam, can't miss it, right? So there's a little bit of self-education that goes on, but yeah, I mean, it's great. I have generally pretty great clients and I hope that the people, you know, that come to me want to book me because they love my work, not just because they need any old florist.
Yeah. I think you can find any old florist.
You certainly get your whole vibe off of, this is it, but you certainly get your vibe and understand who you are through Instagram. I mean, you are there, you are present, you're hilarious. honestly have me cracking up because I found out about you through Graham Corbett of Bloom and Burn, who we've had
love
previously on here.
Yeah.
So do we. We do. And I remember, I can't even remember what you were on a rant about. There was a massive rant, and that was the first time I encountered you. And I was like, oh, follow.
Yeah.
But know.
No, I've been told quite a few times over the years that I have this really great, I don't even know what to call it. I just say what other people are thinking, but they're not willing to say. And
yes,
you know, that's fine. Great. I'd love to be that person. Amazing.
But it's great to be that person. Yeah. There's no like, oh, well, I can try that. It's just like, no, I'm not doing that. Go away.
No, absolutely not. 100% not. No, the rant. Yeah. So that original, if you're talking about the original rant, I was probably two glasses of wine in. And I was really frustrated with clients who were ghosting or who weren't taking the time to like read, you know what I mean? Like read their contracts and shit. And then they would come back later and be like, I have all these questions. And I'm like, oh my God, didn't you read your contract? Like, it's not even that long, babe. You know? Anyway, oh, you just want to give me this $5,000 and sign your name? Perfect. Thank you so much. You know? But anyways, no, I was just frustrated, I think, with all the ghosting that was happening. But yeah, my Instagram blew up at that point with DMs and other florist, floral designers, event professionals that were just like, thank you. Somebody finally just came out and said this. We've all been thinking it. And I'm like, I can be that person for you, sure.
And so do you still carry that on? Because I've seen all of your...
We all loved it. And I've been avidly watching. Yeah. How important do you think it is to show up and be the face of your brand? And how do you think that's impacted your business and, you know, your client base?
Oh, I think it's super important. I didn't really know. I'm not tech savvy at all. I've gotten better over the years, which is kind of hilarious because I consider myself to be young. But yeah, definitely not tech savvy, but, most of the photography on my, Instagram is Darian, which is, you know, Funk Studios. She's my best friend. We share this, studio together. Her work is really incredible, but she is the one who said to me, like, you need to get on Instagram. You need to learn how to use it at least, you know, half-assed. And if you can't do that, at least just show up, you know? So I think if it wasn't for her, and like teaching me how to do an Instagram story, essentially, I don't think the brand would be where it is. I think like all the professionals tell you, you got to show your face. You need to be a part of your brand, be original, be authentic, right? All these things. And it's true, right? Yep.
Yeah. And I think you do that. I really do, because I feel like I know you already. And, you know, and we've never met. This is the first virtual meeting, but I do feel like I know what you're about. And I know so much more about kind of your brand ethos because of you showing up on social a lot.
That's good. Yeah. That's good feedback for me to have, honestly. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. I try. I've actually been finding it a little bit more difficult lately in terms of like posting on the feed, not necessarily the stories. Cause I've been using the stories kind of to push the retail store along, like during this time, right. Where, normally it would be all behind the scenes, like event work, right. Of me just like sweating and swearing and carrying on trying to set up all these events, just like, you know, doing my best. I'm finding it a little bit more difficult lately, not because I'm running out of content, but because I'm really trying more than ever now to only put out really what I want. And I know I'm not the first floral designer to say that, like, not everything I've designed and done is necessarily something that I want in my portfolio. Yeah. Right. So really, I think that's kind of the focus going forward. Really, again, like touching back on the ideal client, really just going after that ideal client, really going after the aesthetic that I want. Like, I love wild, big installations as opposed to vessels, you know, dark and sexy, like, you know, all the depth, dimension, all the good things.
Yeah. Do you think having the time, I suppose you haven't had much time because you're constantly busy and you're like, if you're not doing flowers, you're making something to sell. I was going to say, this might be a silly question actually, but do you find that where you had a bit more time, during lockdown? Is that even a thing that you do? But have you been able to kind of focus in more on what you really want for your business moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. I think it kind of happens, honestly, subconsciously, as like silly or like light as that may sound. Like I think I just, something kind of clicked, and I always knew it, but like, I really just need to put forward what it is that I want. And I feel, you know, kind of in the same vein as every other floral designer who's had the same realization. Saying no is super powerful to growing your business and attracting, you know, the person that you want. So yeah, I think just like me turning people away when it's not what I want, diplomatically, politely, nicely, you know, maybe it's not, no, I don't want to do that. It's, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm already booked, you know? Well, that might not be true, but you know, protect the brand.
Yeah. No. And I'm very much in the same vein of that. I used to say yes to everything. Like I said, yeah, in the early days, oh my God. I mean, my business is only turning four this year, but I said yes to everything. And I loved all of the weddings that I did, because the couples were amazing, but
100%. They weren't.
Yeah. But I think, like you say, vetting a client, before you even talk to them, to find out, you know, are they coming to you for pricing? Because you find, don't you, if you get an email through and someone's like, hi there, I'm looking blah, 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 blah. Whereas if they're like, oh, hi, Victoria, you know, I've seen your work on Instagram, and you know that they want you. It's such a different feeling when you can feel like, I don't know, they trust you a little bit more. When they're really your client, they trust you to do your thing.
Yeah. But when you're starting out though, you do take all the work. Do. Like I remember Gypsophilia bridal bouquet with diamante butterflies, because that's what she wanted. Oh, that's what
that hurts me. That hurts terrible. Me.
It was
bad. But you do bad,
know
what
I mean? Like, I know, but you know, it's you know, you've got to pay the bills and they're paying you money and everything else they want is quite nice, but that's the bouquet they want. And you know, unless
that's tragic.
It's tragic. But once you've built yourself up as you have, you can turn people down. But when you're at the beginning, you just say yes.
I think, like, obviously it takes time. And like, you need to figure out who you are and what your brand is. And that might change every year, right? Like people change. You take more courses, you take mentorships, one-to-ones, you do courses online, you read all the floral books, like your taste might change. I don't consider myself to be trendy. I have done some trendy things again, like you said in the beginning, like sometimes you got to drop your pants a couple times, like you have bills to pay, you know, like that's what it is. But I mean, like as time goes on, you know, you make more money, you build your business, you build your brand, and hopefully, yeah, there comes a time where it's only the ideal people that are coming through my door and they want me for the right reasons. And, you know, hopefully that day comes real soon.
Do you still do courses every now and then to keep you fresh? And also, do you run courses too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like from the first year that I opened 5 years ago, I do at least one course for myself every year. So I will take a mentorship. I will go to a flower school. I will do an online course. I will do something because I don't ever think I'm good enough. So I need to keep going. I need to keep learning. There's better ways, different ways. You know, like I know six different ways to make a bridal bouquet. That's super helpful when you're not dealing with the same product all the time and you're not always after the same shape or look or movement or whatever, right? So I think just because, like, you know, it's everybody always says it, if you think you're done learning and you've, you know it all, it's time to quit. You're done.
Yeah.
So but yeah, no, I do. I take courses every year. I haven't been able to do so in 2021 just because of the lockdowns, but I did take an online course in the first lockdown in 2020. Yep.
Okay.
So yeah.
And then do you run courses for other people as well?
Yeah. So I do like fun seasonal ones just for the general public, like the Christmas wreath making one, like holiday wreath making is always so fun. Like I remember a couple years ago when I was at my old studio and we did a holiday wreath making and we did hot apple cider and bourbon and I had to drive a carload of ladies back to town because they were lit. It was so fun. No, but we had a great time. So yeah, we do wreath making, centerpiece design. I've done some like flower crown courses just for like baby showers or bridal showers, stuff like that. And then I do offer one-to-one mentorships too with like custom curriculum. So I'll have lots of communication with the student beforehand and kind of ask them what they want to work on, just so that everything is tailored to them so that like we're working on what they need to work on. They're not wasting my time. I'm not wasting theirs. And then I give them an option for professional photography to be included so that they can, you know, bump up their portfolio if they want to.
I think that's really important, that the photography element to it.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Professional photography. 100%. Yeah. Like I don't post anything on my, I think there's one photo on my grid that's not professional. Like,
yeah. You're quite,
that's really interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting, isn't it? Mm.
I was going to say, you're quite comfortable with modeling as well, aren't you, for your photo shoots?
Oh, shoot. I mean, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say comfortable, but...
You do it.
I've done it.
The camera loves you.
Oh, thanks, you guys.
I just love that. I just think, you know, you need to do a photo shoot and, you know, anyone can wear a dress and hold a bouquet, but you look really comfortable in it. You're just, it's almost like... this is the shot I want. Take it now.
Yeah, there was probably 50 photos before that of me saying to Darian, I don't think that's right. I feel awkward. I have to go to the bathroom. Hold on one second. This isn't right. Can somebody change the lighting? I need a drink.
I love it. I just thought it was brilliant that you had yourself in your photo shoot. I just think that's just lovely. There's no need to hire or use a model, is there? You just kind of put yourself in and it's just lovely.
Yeah, it's definitely not because there wasn't a budget to hire anybody.
Yeah. There's never a budget. There's never a budget for those kind of things, is there? No, photo shoots. Yeah. Photo shoots, there's never a budget at all.
I think it's really important though to have somebody who you're friends with as well taking the images of you. I think that's really helpful.
For the comfortability of it. Absolutely. 100%.
And they know the angles that you like and dislike because they're used to taking images of you. I have this pretty much the same photographer who takes all of my kind of brand shoots. And she knows she can only photograph me from a certain side. She knows it all. She knows everything's got to be really lightened up so you can't see any dark rings around my eyes and wrinkles. But yeah, honestly, she smooths it all out. So, you know, she's my favorite person.
Yep, same. Same.
I need her to take more photos of me and be a bit stricter rather than going, yeah, I'm fine with it, that's fine. I'm gonna go, no, do what you do to Vic for me.
Oh my god.
So let's talk about weddings specifically.
Yeah,
how are we looking in terms of this year? What is do you even know if anything's going to kind of really happen this year, or what's the
situation? I have quite a few clients that are hopeful and hanging on. And I'm so fine to be right there with them in their hopeful hanging on. But it really just depends on how the government decides to handle things. I'm not going to do anything that's illegal, right? The fines are immense, so it's not worth it. And also the safety aspect of it, like, let's not be silly. So you know, we're just kind of playing it by ear, really. I still have, you know, honestly, I don't know the numbers. Like, I probably have a good 10 weddings left for this year that like might go forward. But that being said, like, that really doesn't mean anything. 2022 is like damn near full.
Right.
Which is crazy. And like the postponement and kind of cancellation process, I think, like, Vic, you and I talked about this a little bit in the DMs, like, it's been really hard. Everybody is kind of just trying to do the best they can. I kind of implemented like a hard and fast way of doing things so that everything was at least consistent when I was dealing with my clients. But it's just, you know, it is what it is. I'm just kind of playing it by ear. If somebody wants to get married and it's safe for me to design their wedding florals for them, then I'm absolutely going to do it. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I think the challenge has been, trying to, you know, find time for everybody in 2022.
There was a bit of a break during one of the lockdowns, wasn't there, where they allowed 30 yeah. people to be married, and then they allowed 15, and then there was nobody, and then as we've started to open up again, there's been 50 people. And is it as from today, Vic, that 30 people are allowed again?
30 people are allowed again. It has been, yeah, previously 30 people. But that's no dancing.
It's the same here. There's no reception, no thing. Everything has to be socially distanced, masks.
Yeah. You can have a ceremony, can't you, and a sit down meal, so it can look all pretty, but that it's masks on in the church or your registrar office, wherever you go, and then like a sit down meal and that's it. So it's not the celebration people may have wanted. So I understand why people are holding on, but yeah, I think 2022, you're going to have to, if you can't fit people in, you might have to let people down, which is a horrible thing to do, but you know.
Yeah. Like I did that yesterday. I had a client and I'm friends with her. She's a business owner in town and it like broke my heart. I was like, I'm already booked, babe. Sorry. You know, unless you want to change another date, like I literally cannot help you. So I used to take more like multiple events in a weekend. Now the weddings are, you know, bigger, more involved, lots of like on-site floral design, which is what I prefer. So I really only take one, maybe two in a weekend if there's a day in between. But yeah, it's just tough. But I will say, you know, the whole elopement, intimate, you know, kind of, I'm not going to call it a trend, but like forced trend of weddings and like nuptials has been so great. Like people have all these like incredible photos and they get to spend so much more time with their core people. And I don't mind the micro wedding trend. Like I love it. Like we had a break for a little while in between, like, I don't know if it was in between the first and second lockdown or in between the second and third lockdown. I don't even know, but we had a break and I like jammed in like 7 or 8 weddings during that time. And they were all like teeny tiny, but huge ceremony installations. Amazing. Like we did one up north on the beach and it was like incredible, like wildweed treatment, big ceremony installations. And then they took everything back into the cottage with them and enjoyed it for like a week. It was great. It was the two of them. The photographer and myself had to be the witness.
No way.
There was nobody else.
Yeah. See, micro weddings on a big scale in terms of florals is everything's so much more impactful in that term. You bring those numbers down and you dial up the flowers. It's insane.
Yeah. Then you can really go ham on the flowers, which real nice.
Absolutely. You get those arrangements that you dreamt of because you're not having to pay for everybody's sit down meal. And then if you have a party afterwards, you know, next year or the year after, you can still have some flowers, but it won't have the formality of a wedding, which then doesn't have the costs of a wedding, does it?
Let me ask you this question then. Do you think, because I'm hearing a lot of my clients say the same thing, that they're, you know, they're going to have their ceremony. It's going to be really small and intimate and beautiful. And then they're going to have their larger party when they can, year and a half, whatever it is. Do you think that people will actually do that?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, because I've got some people who are having micros and then they've actually booked the venue for next year or 2023. Okay. So that's actually booked. There's some that are like, yeah, we're totally having a party. And then I've seen a few people like, we're expecting a baby now. And everyone's getting busy with the baby making. So I don't know. I'm not convinced. I don't know whether it'll be a traditional sense of, because they're like, oh, we definitely want flowers for like our party. I think it'll probably be more of a, you know, more of a casual gathering of people.
Yeah. But
I think the intentions are good. I think the intentions are good and they're there, but I think that real life is going to come. And like, no matter how you slice it, a big party is still a big party and it's
lots of dough. Yeah.
So I had a micro wedding by choice. So 7 years ago.
Yeah, you did. Good for you.
Yeah. We
masks and everything by choice.
So seven years ago, we just went with our four best friends to the registry office and we just got married. And then we phoned everybody afterwards and we said, we've just got married. Like, including my mum, and I'm the only daughter. I've got three brothers. Oh, but it was fine.
No Christmas presents for you that year.
Yeah, that's for me. So, but we just did it. That's how we wanted to do it. But then we wanted to celebrate with our family in a much more casual way. So the year after, we had the band and we had the food and we had some flowers, but not sit down meal. It was no one was dressed up. Like, it really was a proper like knees up, but we still had flowers. We still, you know, had stuff going on. So I think there was, you still want to celebrate with your friends and family. For me, I loved that the pressure was off. There wasn't that day where I needed to wear a dress and get worried about it. So I'm hoping that other people will do the same. And if they do have a baby in between, it will be a double celebration.
Bring your baby and let's make it a crown.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They'll want the party. They'll give granny the baby and they'll just celebrate because it'll be a double celebration. So, and also, you know, coming out of lockdowns and, you know, coming through a pandemic, that's a reason to party as well. So it might be put off a bit, but don't worry. There's always, always need for a huge flower arch in my eyes anyway.
Oh, well, absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So let's just hope they all get the weddings and the baby making done and then have huge parties.
Let's hope. Here's a question for you then. If you were to, because I've struggled with this, Jess made her own bridal bouquet. I think she forgot that she needed her bridal bouquet. And you said you gathered it up last minute, didn't you? Last knockings.
Oh yeah. I was in my towel in the shed and I just brought a bucket of mixed ranunculus from the flower shop. And just tied it up with some ribbon. That was it. It wasn't important. It just needed something.
Yeah.
Was it so beautiful?
It was all right.
It was lovely.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was lovely. So if I was to get married, I'd find it really hard to let somebody else do my flowers.
Yeah.
So what about you? Would you, if you were ever to get married, I'm not saying everyone has to get married, but we are talking weddings and stuff. If you were to get married, what would be the sitch? Would you be like, I'm going to have to do it all? Because you're a control freak like me. So,
I think that I would initially, that would probably be my initial reaction and like internal need to control everything and do it all myself. But I just don't think that it's feasible on the day of. So I would probably pay all the money and fly Fiona here and just let her make it happen.
Fiona.
Pickles.
Oh. love. Yeah, well, good choice.
I'd be like, there you here's go. All my money I've ever made in my life. Do your worst.
I love that. That's so good. Yeah. Well, there you go. You have to get booked in. She's, you know, she is fabulous.
I know. Yeah, I was actually supposed to go and have a one-to-one mentorship with her 2 years ago. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And then some things happened in life. Somebody got very ill and I ended up having to stay home, which was fine because it's right where I needed to be. But yeah, and then just building the business. And then before you know it, here's COVID and not going anywhere. So it'll happen. Goodness. I will get there. Yeah. I mean, like I have a laundry list of people that I want to learn from. There's so many incredible floral designers. Like, how can you not have a list, you know?
It's so true. Honestly, there's so many people I'd love to go and have one-to-ones with. It's all money at the moment, isn't it? It's just, but I love that you look and you seek out some sort of mentorship each and every year. Because I do, I think it's really, really important to stay current and learn.
Oh yeah. You can't
as much as possible.
No. And yeah, like you need to learn multiple ways of doing things because every once in a while a wrench gets thrown into something and you need to think on your feet. Like that's half the job. You know,
it's also having fresh eyes on your business, isn't it? It's like it you know, saying where you want it to go and what you want it to do and what you found problems with in the past. sometimes you can't, you just can't see the wood for the trees, can you? You just can't make sense of it. But somebody else talking to you will just go, right, have you tried this? Have you done that? And you go, oh, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and I wish that I had opportunity for more of that, like in the begin, like the very beginnings of my business. I find here that the floral industry and its knowledge is very tight, and people are willing to let you in on it, right? If you pay, hence part of the reason why I do mentorships, right? Because I know there's always something that I can improve on. There's something I can learn. There's maybe a better way or a different way, like I said, to do the same thing or something. But like the way that I do my quotes has, you know, for example, changed over all the years. And I just now have it to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm making money. I know my worth. This is what I'm charging. This is why. And like, this is how I do things, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a pretty open book to people that ask me, because I learned a big chunk of that at a workshop. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it gives you confidence as well, especially with things like pricing. That is the worst part of the job, because it's the bit where you've got a client who you're in love with and they're in love with you, and you can picture their dream wedding and you know what it's going to look like. And as soon as you hand that figure over, you can sometimes just feel it, that relationship just turn a bit, and you go, oh, they're not in.
Yeah. So I have a line, and I am not kidding. I say this to my clients, what's your budget? Okay. And every client always says to me, well, I don't know. I don't know what flowers cost. It's my first wedding. I'm not really sure. And I'm like, yep, that's all fine and good, but you know what you're willing to spend. Mm. And then I look at them across my table and I say, does $10,000 make you want to throw up in your mouth? Yeah. And if they say yes, then I'm like, great. So seven. And they're like, yeah, that's better. And I'm like, there we go.
I love that, you know? Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, that's, again, like, that's why on the intake form, I say, what's your floral budget? Mm. Right. And if they don't fill it in, or they put NA or some other bullshit, I call them and go, hi, I need to know this. Money is uncomfortable to talk about for some people. Mm. I don't care. What do you need to spend on your wedding?
I love that.
It just cuts all the crap, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that like we're a good fit on every level, right?
Yeah.
Also here, seasonality is so important and it fluctuates pricing so much. Like here, wholesale flowers have increased in price on average, like generally speaking, around 30%. Y'all, I paid $79.99 Canadian dollars for 10 stems of peonies last week.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot.
Let that marinate.
Let's say that's 40 quid for 10 stems. So £4.
£4 each.
Actually, right? Yeah, the peonies are horrendous at the moment.
Some for about £3.75. So that's not, that's not different.
But I mean, like, that's insane. Like, I price up my flowers in the shop anywhere between 200% and 300%, depending on what it is. There's your tidbit for the day. Like, I charge times three, right? And then wrapping and all that shit goes on top, because nothing is free. Yeah. This brick and mortar. Oh my God. You know? So you have to know your worth. Yeah.
Yeah. So how have you found that in terms of certainly with the retail side of the business? Have you had any problem with the transition of the pricing?
No. So most of what I have is local. And when I say local, I mean, it's like within a 3-hour radius. So unless it's somebody making something out of lumber, which I have one client who makes, or like a wholesaler who makes propagation stations for plants for me. You know, the pricing of things, I haven't really seen too much of an increase, maybe a dollar or two here or there. And the wholesaler has been like generally pretty forthcoming and communicative about it. So they've said, you know, because of COVID, because of, you know, importing difficulty, whatever, blah, 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 this is going to be a dollar or two more, which is fine. And I pass that on to my client, and I haven't had any complaints, but I haven't had any, besides the fresh flowers, any, you know, massive increases in any prices of anything. So I've been fortunate that way. Plus, again, like I make a lot of my own branded things.
Yeah.
So that's been really good too.
That's good.
And so you said earlier on that you've got like you're able to do collections. So are people able to come and collect from your shop at the moment? Are they ordering and collecting, or have you got stuff out on the road?
I don't have anything out on the road. I don't think that's allowed. I can't have anybody in my shop, but I do have the online store, and there's an option when they check out, like for like in-town delivery or pickup. So if it's fresh flowers, it's mostly been in-town delivery. And then pickup is just, you know, scheduled curbside pickup. So I prep the order, pack it, and then they meet me at the door.
So you're keeping.
Sometimes I don't though, because there's sometimes where I'm like, see you on Instagram. You're like, listen, if you're going to order something for me and you know, you want to do a curbside pickup, can you please just turn up?
Yeah. Can you be the fuck yeah. on time? Thank you so much.
Just makes me die every time.
Yeah. We're not doing anything. I know you're not doing anything. Just be here on time. Yeah. Put your sourdough starter on the shelf and let's go.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for such a fun chat. We loved every minute and really hope that we can meet you in real life one day when you're heading over to the UK. If you haven't already checked out Sarah's Instagram, then pop on over to @thelittleshedflower and go and give her a follow. So that's it for this week. Thanks as always for tuning in and for sending us lovely messages and reviews. We so appreciate all of your wonderful feedback. So until next Thursday, take care. We really hope that you enjoyed this episode of Girl Flower Podcast. Please subscribe, share and review on your podcast provider and help us to reach out and connect with other florists, growers and enthusiasts.